For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I admitted yesterday to start the show, your boy was a bit grumpy. We're feeling better today. So, how about you?
Oh, just fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
You seem fantastic.
Oh, couldn't be better, man.
When you walked in the pre-show, we were like, is it just me or does Dustin seem fantastic?
Just in a great mood.
Just in a wonderful mood here, which is good because I think we got to calm the waters on the Cleveland Guardians. The Guardians lost last night. They did, in fairness, against Tarek Skubal, one of the three or four best pitchers in the American League. They did get 10 hits. The problem is they only got two runs, and Carlos Carrasco imploded. And it was interesting to hear about the somber tone in the Guardians' locker room. If you listen to Zach Meisel on with the Morning Boys today, we painted a very specific picture.
I think pretty picture.
Pretty picture. But it's very interesting. We'll get to the Guardians' side of this. I kind of don't get why yesterday was the tipping point for any Guardians fans going from, and I actually did predict it, but as like we actually saw the game transpire, you got 10 hits against one of the four best pitchers in baseball. You probably should have had five or six runs, but I went into that game thinking it's Carlos Carrasco versus Skubal. Like, you're going to lose this game. You should expect to lose that game when a guy who's probably at this point washed in his career is going against one of the three best pitchers going.
I mean, listen, I went into the game hopeful. I was a little bit nervous. I saw that line. The Guardians were a slight underdog yesterday. They hurt me a little bit. But it's unfortunate where they're at because they can't score any runs, man. You talk about those hits. Like, that's great. I mean, how many times did they have? I think it was at least two times the bases were loaded yesterday.
Yeah. And multiple times. And I'm not trying to.
One run out of it?
I'm not trying to pile on this kid.
No, I know.
But, like, in the second inning, when you got the middle of your lineup, or really, what is it, 4-6 on base, and the bases are juiced, the second that I saw it was Tyler Freeman, who actually got a great hit, by the way. I should give Tyler credit. He had three hits last night. But the second that Rocchio came up with no outs and bases juiced, I had the absolute worst feeling in the world. And Rocchio had, and listen, I don't want to bag on the kid because he's a young kid. And when you play rookie shortstops or especially light-hitting guys, you should expect them to take a while to become good hitters. It seems like that's happened with literally every middle infielder the Guardians have stockpiled for the last 3 years, but I digress. But how the hell? And I was listening to it on my way home. And when Rocchio struck out looking, I had to turn off the radio because rage overcame me. It's like, listen, you started the second half off multiple games in a row with Schneeman at short. I trust Schneeman. And Schneeman's been here, what, 30 games, if we're lucky? 20 games, maybe? I trust that dude in that scenario against the best pitcher in baseball more than I do the guy that's been manning shortstop since day one on the season. And you could have called it. Dude, we're previewing the lineup last night, and it goes Freeman at 7, it goes Rocchio at 8, and it goes Hedges at 9. And by the way, Hedges actually got a hit last night. But it just felt like where the Guardians are right now. I don't look at all these last four games as the same thing. You scored 7 runs on Friday. You got roughly 3-hit, 4-hit on Saturday and Sunday. And last night, you actually did get hits. You didn't drive men. But it feels like right now, the wrong guy is coming up at the absolute worst time.
So they're just unlucky?
I don't want to go all that because I do think they need at least one bat. I do think some of these young guys are too raw for the moment. Rocchio being front and center, a guy who just is not ready for the role he's in. And whether that means he's got to go to utility, whether that means Schneeman comes up and is your everyday shortstop, or rather slides up to be the everyday, whether you go Angel Martinez at second and maybe move Jimenez to short, I don't know, but you can't. Last night was evidence. Here's the thing. You strike out with bases juiced. No, listen, if you're being aggressive, I have no problem. If you strike out looking with bases juiced early in a game where your starting pitcher has already been lit up like a gas can, man, I just, how can I have you out there? Like, how can you, in good conscience, how can you put Brian Rocchio out there again in that same, because here's the thing. It's the same thing why you don't start Austin Hedges 90 times a year. Because the law of averages says that dude's going to come up in game deciding situations. And previously, the Guardians have done a good job. Okay, we're going to pinch hit Bo Naylor. We're gonna do a double substitution. Fry's going to go from DH to catching the last few innings. With Rocchio, it was the second inning. Like, when it's the fifth inning on, you can sub out of that. When it's the biggest moment of the game for your offense, and it's in the second inning, there's no subbing out of that. At that point,
what are you going to do?
Well, you're just telling people you shouldn't have started that guy in the first place.
If you take him out.
So, yeah. I don't know, man. But I'm going to come back to this.
I mean, you don't give up four runs in the first two innings.
Yeah.
That's a different deal.
Last night
then you wouldn't even have that conversation.
I don't want to, because I'm trying to figure out the best way to put this. Last night was the sum of all the gambles the Guardians have taken. Carlos has had a couple starts in the last nine that haven't sucked. Most of them have been bad. Every time you've run him out there, and I get you literally do not have somebody to replace Carlos Carrasco right now. But every time you run him out there, that's what he's going to do. He's going to give up 4 to 6 runs. So if the best case scenario is he might only give up 4 runs, that's telling you something. But then again, and Freeman playing second last night, which is another interesting spot. But Brian Rocchio is, 600 OPS if you're lucky right now? Hedges, and again, I'm not trying to pile on Hedges. He did his job last night, which good for him. But like most of the time, if you bat a lineup with Freeman, Rocchio, and Hedges as your 7 through 9, they're going to screw you over. And the miracle is that they haven't a lot this year. So in a way, and I don't want to, this is going to sound like I'm coming down hard on the organization. I don't. I understand that you can't make trades happen before trades are available. The late draft kind of screws teams needing help earlier. But last night was more of a chickens coming home to roost of this is what happens when you have Carrasco and those other three hitters in pivotal spots in a game that you need. Like, I kind of looked at it last night. I'm like, again, this is just the way the rotation fell. So how much? But like last night, it's kind of how she goes. That's it. If you needed that game to alleviate some of the fan concern, you needed it. And you put a lineup out there that felt like you weren't all in on winning.
So you said that like fans are really upset about this whole situation and feel like the wheels are falling off.
I think last night was the culmination of a lot of people's fears. And well, I think that was the tipping point for a lot of people.
You know, listen, Nick, we talked about this before the All-Star break. Was that an anomaly, like before the break, mm-hmm. and to not come out of the break hot is definitely concerning.
Yeah,
so you can understand why people feel this way.
No. I know. Yesterday was, as long as people are invested in the team, we're good right now. So if you want to panic, I'm not ready to panic yet. And here's the thing, I think over the next few games, I think we should all get to panic if they don't straighten this thing out. And now it's about splitting the series is the best. You know, the best expectation you can have. Anything above splitting the series is a gigantic win for them. But I just don't understand why that's the game. You should have lost that game with how your manager stacked the lineup and who you had to send out there because it was his turn in the lineup. I looked at that going into last night as a schedule loss. And I hate to be thinking like that, But I think the panic comes over the next couple days. And I also think, like, I also think last night, after everything that has been reported that has come out of the clubhouse about whether it's Rocchio looked like he was putting stuff in a cardboard box, which certainly has a certain connotation to it, whether it was just the somber mood in the dugout. I mean, Austin Hedges, we're going to play Austin Hedges coming up in about 10 minutes because he had a couple really well-thought-out, interesting points about where the Guardians are. But all due respect to Stephen Vogt, because again, I do put the loss on him a little bit because look at the 7-9 last night. Look at the guys that played last night against Tarik Skubal. You needed every guy with any bit of pop last night in that lineup, and you put Punch and Judy hitters 7-9.
Yeah.
Like when Tyler Freeman's your power hitter from 7-9, you played yourself. Congrats. But I'm not like mad at him. I understand he's trying this delicate balance. He's trying to get this thing going. At the same point, like, Vogt can say anything he wants. This team is going through it. Coming off the San Diego, losing that series, you know, Stephen Vogt, and we played the audio yesterday, Dusty, where Stephen Vogt was like, hey, I think we're doing what we're doing and we're in a good spot and nobody's panicking. Bull. You can say, he has to say that, so it's not, I'm not knocking Stephen for saying it. That's what you have to, that's the tone you have to set. No, we're not panicking. Nope, we know exactly where we are.
Well, that locker room says
otherwise.
And listen, you shouldn't panic right now. You're still in first place. Like, everything's still in front of you. It's not like you just blew, you know, a whatever. You know, what was the lead at one point?
Oh, they had it up of 8-9 games.
Okay, so you're now at 4 games.
Yeah.
It's not like you're trailing. Yeah. I mean, if they were down, if they were like a couple of games back, oh, panic time for sure.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy about this?
And I can see if that were the case, it would be pucker time.
What's crazy about this is the division, you only have a 4-game lead. And yet, you have still have one of the 3 best records in the American League. So, like, on one hand, you could look and be like, man, the Twins and Royals are both getting pretty close. Oh, you just gave away a game to the Tigers, who are now just 10 games back. And then you could look and be like, okay, but you're 1 game away from having the best record in baseball. Or, sorry, the best record in the American League. So it's like, what do you gauge the Guardians' success off of? Is it how big of a lead they have in the Central? Or is it about whether they're still closer to teams like Baltimore, New York, and obviously themselves than they are to the teams that are 4 games off them?
Yeah.
And I don't know what the right answer is right now. But I think it's interesting that last night I saw a lot of people who have been all as well kind of flip the switch.
Yeah, I understand that. And I'd say for me personally, when I've been looking at, looking ahead, like, oh, who do they got this weekend? Who do they got tomorrow night? What's the pitching matchup? Nick, I don't know that over the last several weeks I've looked at a pitching matchup and been like, oh, yeah, hammering the Guardians tonight.
I mean, you got Joey Wentz versus Xavion Curry tonight. I'm the biggest Xavion Curry homer in this damn town.
I understand. You taking the Guardians?
And I can't. Like, I here's the thing. I'll probably just avoid the damn game. Like, I can't bet on the Guardians, but I'm not going to bet on them to lose. But, like, because the Tigers are a .500 team, so it's not like we're playing the 27 Yankees here. But, yeah, this is a classic. If you're gambling tonight, this is a classic stay-away game. The Guardians should win it. They're at home. They're a great home team. They should win it. But you're throwing a guy who is probably, if everybody's healthy in your organization, he's your 10th best starter. And right now, he's one of your 5 starters. I've mentioned I don't understand why you panicked about the Guardians after last night. I mean, it sucks when you get 10 hits against an ace and you don't punch in a bunch of runs. I understand the frustration. But, like, I'll be honest with you, if you get 10 hits against Michael King or Dylan Cease, last night's win doesn't sting as much because you probably win the series against the Padres.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. You are looking through a Guardians colored glass right now, I think.
Are you accusing me of being a homer?
I don't know that you're being a homer. Yeah, you're being a homer. Yeah, you're being a homer. A bit of a homer.
Okay, jam me up, why don't you?
Not jamming you up, but I mean, you're talking about, well, you had the hits. I mean, if you just knock them in, you win the game. Like, yeah, of course.
Well, but the point over the weekend is everybody said you need a new bat because you got 4 hits against 2 pitchers. 4 hits across 2 games. Well, half the games, you've got the offense you need. Like Friday, you get 7 runs. Last night, you got 10 hits. There are, I mean, with the way the Guardians play, last night does happen. Last night was not the sign of a bad offense. Last night was the sign of unfortunate positioning of when the weak links in your offense came up. Anybody comes but Rocchio at the 8th spot in the second inning, you get 3 runs there easy.
Maybe. But, I mean, it's what are you going to do?
Oh, no, I mean, I think the conundrum is that game happening after the first 3 games of the second half in the previous 18 games.
Yeah, I mean, it's a culmination of what we've seen for the last month of Guardians baseball. So that's why I think there's concern. And I feel like you don't have much of a concern, which is surprising to me.
So it's not that I don't have concern. And I don't know. Like I said, I was driving my truck last night, listening to the game, and when Rocchio struck out looking, my version of throwing your your PS5 controller.
Did he look at all the
wall,
strikes? By the way, did he look at all of them?
What?
Did he look at all the strikes?
I do not. Well, I don't recall, but he did. He looked at the most important one.
Because I remember, I wasn't watching it live. I was watching the GameCast, like on the app, and so like this, you know, called strike.
Yeah,
called strike. Called strike.
But no, I rage quit listening to the Guardians for 30 minutes of my drive home because of that. I will say tonight is a much more winnable game. If you look at the rest of this series, the rest of this series is much more winnable. And now you're trying to salvage a split. If you don't win tonight, I think it's fair if everybody, and I might even be singing a different tone. And it's funny because most of time when we talk about baseball, everybody wants to say, it's 162 games. You don't, you know, no one series. Nah, that's situationally, there are moments that arise that are crucially important to the season. And I think that situation is tonight. I think tonight is as ridiculous. Tonight feels like, and it's not because there's 162 games and all those cliches.
Sure.
Tonight feels like a must-win game. You need to stop the bleeding. You can't start the second half of the season winning 1 of 5, especially against 2 teams that are 500 teams.
All right, so we're going to come on the air tomorrow, and if your boy Curry doesn't come through tonight, where are you going to be? I don't want to like jump the gun, but is tonight the game? Is tonight the game for you that it was last night for many others?
It's close to that. Yeah,
okay.
It is. I think the. The concern will be, all right, you didn't really have your best pitcher going. You probably had your 10th best starter going, but it's not like Joey Wentz is their best starter by far. Like, he's a nice starter. You can beat this guy. And so the devil's always in the details. But, yeah, I mean, this is the next 2 or 3 games are the difference between me rage quitting, me being frustrated, whatever you want to say. Panic, it's still... Panic to me, I think we put a lot on the Guardians. Part of the reasons why I'm not panicking yet are the Yankees, Orioles, and every other team around you, not named Minnesota and Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
are kind of where you are. Like, everybody's kind of treading water, or in some cases, not treading water even. And, but yeah, I mean, if you don't take 2 of the next 3 games, the next series, while you go on the road where you haven't been as good of a team, because of course not, because everybody plays better at home, or most everybody plays better at home. If you exit this homestand and the Twins or Royals are within 2 games, it's going to be tough not to panic. It's going to be tough not to go, what the hell is going on? And I think, I think the Steven Vogt stuff is really interesting too. Like, do you think people are looking at Steven Vogt to make this right?
Yeah, of course they are. And he's been the guy that's gotten a lot of credit, and rightfully so, for the fast start that they got off to. But yeah, I think you always look to the manager, especially when you're going through a slump, don't you, to try and get you out? I mean, I liked his positive vibe last night. But you said something about the players that was concerning to me.
Yeah, I mean, the if you hear anything that anybody was in the locker room last night talked about. And Mizell did a great job with the Morning Boys, with Jason Lloyd in for Ken today, talking about the Rocchio stuff, just how everybody felt. I don't like hearing that. When the locker room, when the energy in that locker room is so low that you have guys emotional, that there are, you know, seemingly summits, and Austin Hedges, who's one of the leaders on this team, comes out and talks after last night's game. Like, that speaks to me that no matter what Stephen Vogt is saying, the locker room right now doesn't. The locker room's feeling the pressure, and maybe, just maybe, the locker room is panicking a little bit themselves. That is a concern. Yeah. Like, when you lose, we lose 5-7, but the locker room still have good vibes afterwards, that tells you that they kind of know that's just a little blip. I don't think those guys think it's a blip anymore. And I actually think this will be one of the biggest tests of Stephen Vogt's young career. Because we all knew, like, if you, it's impossible that anybody plays, unless you are the Dodgers and you've just bought everybody else's best players and you're the evil empire. And even then, they don't do it. But, like, unless you're that team, everybody hits a wall. And the dog days of summer do not leave anyone unclaimed. But that's where a good manager makes the difference. So, you know, I ask that question because I think this is Stephen Vogt's moment to get it righted. And Stephen Vogt has done such a good job. It is easy to tell everybody we're trying to win every game when you're actually winning. It is easy to be super aggressive at the end of games. It is easy to be super aggressive with your lineups. And we're going to, you know, today Daniel Schneeman's the two hitter and tomorrow he's the five hitter. And, you know, then he's going to be the eight hitter. And you're doing all that to keep teams guessing about your lineup. And you're doing all that to every lineup, maximize them every single run at every lineup. It's easy to do that when you're winning. It's not easy to do that where they are now.
Mm.
And so this is, if there was ever a time where cracks would show for rookie manager, it's now. And again, I didn't like the roster composition, or the lineup composition of the 7-9 last night. You want to have Hedgie hit because Naylor versus the best lefty in the game? Totally get it. You can't have Freeman and Rocchio there. And the irony is, Freeman and Hedges weren't awful last night. It's just Rocchio was, and he came up two times in a bitch in a booty. But now is 100% the time when you've got a bullpen game going for the Tigers, right?
Yep.
You probably are throwing somewhat of a bullpen game with Xavion, who, by the way, can give you 4 or 5 innings. But, like, this is it. This is the kind of game where you stop the bleeding. Because really what they just need is a slump buster. They need a 10-run game.
I would love that, but the problem with the 10-run game is, they've had those in the past, the next game they give you one.
Well, but in this case...
I need a 1-run win tonight. How about that?
No, I think that's probably going to come later in the series. The Tigers' bullpen isn't great. I Foley's a good closer.
Their closer's good, yeah.
I think if everybody remembers, was it?
He looks like a good closer.
He's got
no matter what. Like, he looks like he's like a scary dude. Like,
he's got
looks
the like Kenny he's Powers.
Yeah, or like he looks like he's part of Sons of Anarchy, like the gang.
So
the biker gang.
I will say, I don't like a buttoned up closer. I don't want
a closer. You got to be a little bit of a loose cannon, don't you?
I don't want a closer that looks like an accountant, or like Cody Allen. Cody Allen was a really nice closer, one of the best in Cleveland history. But Cody kind of looked like...
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Just a dude. Just a guy, just one of the guys.
I mean,
being a guy.
Just come out with the Brian Wilson beard and you're good.
Yeah, or Eric Gagne's beard, or John Rocker's fidgetiness, or like Wickman looking like he was about to down 12 of Molson's finest right before he went out there and threw like a 5-hit save somehow. Like, Jason Foley, and honestly, Class A does not look like Kenny Powers. Class A looks like a closer to me. But here's the thing. The rest of the Tigers bullpen, I don't love. Like, you almost got to, I think it's Fajardo, right before Foley got that weird save where the Guardians pretty much gave away the game. But no, I mean, this next 3-7 game stretch. I don't know, I said seven. It could have been 3-9, 3-, next 5-7 games are really super important. And whether it's fair or not, it's on Stephen Vogt. Because this is the moment where Tito would do something. I think the obvious thing is you got to ship Roque out to Columbus. That kid has no faith right now. And honestly, Cleveland fans have less faith in Brian Roque than Brian has in himself. And I don't know if Brian's got any feel for himself. But I think it starts there. I don't think you should do something stupid or reckless. But I think Steven has to now show to the team, hey, I have a plan for this. Most of what we're doing is working. Here's how we clear up the other 10%. Real quick, though, Dusty. You think I have too many ranch bottles here?
Do I think you do?
Yeah.
I don't even know how many you have, and I'm going to answer yes.
So that's a very smart tactic you just took.
Thank you.
Because I opened up, because I went to get my lunch, salad with chicken on it. I went to get my donkey bottle of ranch, and I realized.
I love that you call it a donkey bottle now.
You coined it. It's so darn good. But there are probably 4 donkey bottles in there.
They're all yours?
I'm pretty sure they're all mine.
At some point, Nicholas, we gotta have a talk.
Yeah. Is my ranch
have an
addiction,
intervention?
Is my the ranch intervention?
You a ranch guy?
Of 2024.
You a ranch addict?
In a ranch?
Is that a ranch thing?
But no, I just, how much ranch is too much, I think, is a fair question to throw out there. And if anybody else on the staff wants to claim one of those donkey bottles so that it's not me thinking those are all mine, you can shoot me a text because I opened it up. And it is like right before you do go into some sort of intervention and you're like, maybe I do have a problem.
Well, they're not mine. I know that for sure. But okay.
You're not
doesn't
much
it bother
guy.
You when you open the refrigerator and there's like 2 bottles of ketchup open or 3 bottles of ketchup or mustard or whatever?
At my house, like, yes.
Can you just
work?
Have one bottle open? Why do you have to have multiples?
Because I forgot about the other ones, quite frankly.
How do you forget about them? They're there. There's like, if you have 4 ADHD bottles, you forgot about all 3 of the other bottles in there?
Yeah. Pretty much every time.
You don't
time.
Know if you finished a bottle of ranch?
Well, no, because what will happen is I'll be really good and I will only bring lunch from home for like 2 or 3 weeks. And then I'll have a bad week where I just eat out. And then I'm like, I got to restart. I got to eat better. I got to get ranch. I got to order some ranch so I make sure that I have some for my salad.
So you're like paranoid.
Would it kill you a day to just not have the ranch and then you realize that you need to get more?
It wouldn't kill me, but I don't have any cheese. All I have on salads are like baby spinach or greens and chicken. So, yeah.
You definitely can't eat that stuff without drowning it in ranch, that's for sure.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we like things to taste good, Keith. I don't know if you know how somebody gets to be a obese person, but you don't get
like,
it.
Do you wake up in the morning and the first thing you think about is ranch?
No, not really.
Okay.
Not really. I don't really think about ranch until...
Do you plan your day around it? You're like, oh, man, what's for lunch?
Tablespoon in the morning.
Man, I'm going to be on the west side that time. Do I need to grab another bottle? Then I need a cooler.
I'm not Ken Carmen. I don't drink my ranch straight here. All right, I only have it with salads or with
only with salads. Okay,
or
anything
boneless wings.
You don't dip pizza in it?
Fries?
No.
You don't?
No.
Man,
no fries.
You're not a true Ohioan.
Is that a thing?
It's a Midwest thing.
Really?
100%.
I just got into hot honey on pizza. That's pretty attractive.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
I mean, I don't do it that often, but I mean, if someone orders that, I'll try it. It's good. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I mean, I'm pretty much, I'm pretty. Pretty common with my ranch practices.
You're a basic.
I'm a basic ranch.
Basic R.
I would not.
Basic ranch.
Basic. I mean, you can save it all you want, but I would not. So, with all this being said,
I saw her face.
216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Destin Fox 46.
You love your ranch, man.
I do. I love me some ranch. By the way, did I say Fox 46? It's Destin Fox 37. 42. What's your number?
Just 9 off. It's no big
deal. What number did I wear in college, Nick?
Social media reactions on X powered by...
Well, he made you in the new NCAA game and made you number 46.
By Shineman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
We got to have a conversation quickly about that, too.
About which one?
So on Friday, I was down in Canton doing the Mac Media Day at the Hall of Fame. Had a great time. Football season, by the way, it feels like it's here.
Yeah, your summer's over.
Yeah, summer's pretty much over.
Nope.
So, yeah.
I'm not letting Keith have that win.
No, it's pretty much over. So after I finished that up, man, that was a long day. I had to track down college football and also an Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Because this new college football,
you had FOMO.
I didn't know at first that I had to get a new Xbox because I'm not like that savvy with it anymore. I mean, I had the Xbox One, and I had never had an issue. I just would buy the new games. Like, I just bought the new Tennis Top Spin. It worked on the Xbox One. The new Call of Duty that I had from last year worked fine. Well, now this college football game, got to have a new Xbox.
Yeah.
So I found an Xbox X that still took the disc, which is the best part. Because I actually was able to buy a physical hard copy of College Football 25.
How long was the drive from buying the physical hard copy to when you put it in the slot there?
So the time between buying it to actually commencing it, it was a while because I had gone home and we actually had to go out to dinner and stuff. So it sat in a brand new box until I got home like later that evening.
Kind of bittersweet, though, because the downside is you're thinking the whole time about the game. At the same point, though, the buildup is almost always better than the payoff of playing the new video game, right?
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? It was just great to open the package and smell the fresh plastic and disc, and you pop that thing out, and you can just smell it, man. It's like opening a can of tennis balls.
Okay.
Something special about it, man.
Neither one of those things are anything that I've ever been like. I'm just sniffing.
No, yours is ranch. I mean, you just plastic. Open
it. Do you don't smell your ranch when you open it?
No. There's not a lot of things that I open and then smell. Yeah.
Really?
Not really. Like pizza box. Oh, you can smell the pizza. Yeah, that's good. Video game? No, I pretty much just take the CD, the disc out, and I just pop it in there. I don't. You can smell the plastic.
I sniffed the tennis balls for a solid 30 seconds. Cut that. Go ahead.
I think we need to start. Okay, I'll come to my own intervention about my ranch problem. I think we're going to have a meeting with you about your tennis problem. If you're sniffing tennis balls for 30 seconds.
The sound of opening that can of tennis balls and then the smell. Oh, man. I love smelling those tennis balls.
I don't think anyone has that. I think this is a you thing. I think there's a lot of people sniff the plastic package.
I have to have some folks in my tennis community out there that would agree with that. Come on.
I just saw
Novak do an Instagram video about it.
Yeah, that's Novak Djokovic.
Yeah, okay.
He's got a tennis addiction. That's how you come. That's how you get to be Novak.
You don't think I do?
Well, no, that's my point.
I don't know that he's addicted. He's just really good at it.
But how do you get to be really good at it? You constantly play it. 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Dustin Fox 37. That's his number. That's the one. If you are, whether it's a... maybe you're a tennis fan. Maybe you just own a dog who likes tennis balls. I don't know.
You don't smell your new shoes?
No.
Jax does.
Oh, come on. I mean, you don't smell them out of the box?
Oh, no. Dude, come on.
What kind of perverts?
Well, I mean, you get them like every 7 years. You get a new pair
come
of shoes.
Come on, Keith. You do, right?
I just got a couple new pairs of shoes, and I smelled them both.
But why?
Dude,
I feel like this is a massive blind spot.
Because that's the only time they're going to smell like that once you start wearing them.
These are straight out the box today.
Don't, no.
Straight out, brand new.
No, I'm not sniffing your shoes.
New Carlos Alcaraz Vapor 11s.
I am not.
Here, we're going to lift them up and you can smell Dustin's and then smell mine.
No.
They smell awesome, dude.
I'll smell your shoes if you smell my bleep kickers that I've been wearing around for 2 years. Oh, we'll do a sniff test. No,
you smell. I'll smell.
No, he's smelling.
We got taste. This is like a Pappy
shoe.
Van Winkle.
What kind of mating ritual am I seeing here? Get that away from me.
Smell new shoes, man.
I'm not at all. That's the weirdest thing I've ever seen two grown-ass men
then
do.
Then why do we have full lines right now of people calling about
I'll
their...
I'll sniff your shoes if you sniff mine. What is that about?
We're going to put a poll.
Jax,
put it on the poll.
Would you sniff another man's shoes?
If they're brand new, yeah.
I mean, these are right out the box, dude.
I've had these on for less than three hours. 3 hours? No. That's too bad. How long have you had those shoes on?
These shoes, yeah. I've had them on since about 9 o'clock this morning.
There we go.
There's some foot juices in there. Well,
I'm not that been running around, Nick.
It doesn't matter. Your foot naturally emits things.
Well, maybe
while
yours
walking
stinks.
Around.
I don't know. I wash my feet.
Okay. Everybody's body emits things. That's how the human body works.
There's no chance you wash your feet.
Shots fired. I might have stinky ass feet, but I actually wash my feet because they are stinky ass feet. How dare all of you, you bunch of shoe sniffers?
I bet we're not the weird ones.
There could be a whole shoe sniffing community out there,
mm-hmm.
and you'll still be the weird ones. All right, we have Katie coming in now. I'm going to assume that Katie has something to say about shoes.
Well, she has not heard it, and she has a different perspective from us all because she's a woman. So,
Katie, are you a shoe sniffer?
Okay, yeah, I was writing my script, so I didn't know what you were talking about.
If you buy a brand new pair of shoes, do you sniff them?
No.
You smell them inside. All right. You don't smell the inside of your shoes?
No.
Why are you talking to her like she's the weird one?
Does everybody smell?
Yes, me and Dustin just smelled each other because they're brand new. Yeah. We both have brand new pairs.
Yeah.
Do you smell the new shoes?
Absolutely not.
No. They smell like new shoes. I know what they smell
which
like.
Which is intoxicating.
Then you know, yeah.
How is it intoxicating?
Okay, I mean, you've never done it, so how do you know?
Are there different smells of different shoes?
Don't knock it till you try it, Nick.
Are there different smells of different shoes?
Hey, just take a hit of this.
Like when you... No, I'm not taking a hit of your shoe. I'm not
He's
doing
like mad.
It.
Dude,
Look
these
at
Vapor 11s?
No.
Oh, do you try these?
No. Listen, just take a sniff. Not vaping your shoes. I'm not doing this, all right? I'm somebody's father.
Just take a baby sniff.
I'm a somewhat respected member of the community. I'm not stooping to whatever level you and Keith are on right now.
How about a baby sniff?
So let me ask you, can you tell the difference between your, what are those? Your Medvedevs?
My new Alcarazes.
Your Alcarazes? Can you, from just like stock Jordans?
No, I do think Nikes smell a little different.
Like a little sweeter?
Yeah, and the Jordans, it's just more, I don't know. What would you call it? Plasticky or whatever? Something like that.
A plastic fetish? Is this a plastic thing?
Yeah. Well,
what's that, Jack?
It's like a new car, too.
It's like a new car. You don't enjoy smelling a new car?
Has a great smell. New car has a great smell.
Okay, well then, Katie, here, smell these shoes.
When I go to Star Show,
these have been on for 2 hours.
Katie,
do not do it.
Give them a sniff.
Smelling Dustin's new shoes.
They're brand new.
You're a model member of the community, Katie. You are somebody's mother.
Those have been on my feet for 3 hours.
If you do this, your girls are going to start sniffing shoes. Don't do that.
They're brand new.
They don't smell like anything to me.
Okay, because they're brand new.
Yeah, you're not getting your nose all the way in there.
Get the nose up in there.
Compared to mine, I have a new
pair. If you're going to sniff shoes, you got to get your nose up in there.
No, that's as close as I'm getting.
Yes, that's the appropriate response.
Dude, this is heavenly, bro.
216-474.
Oh, man, I think you really could get high off these things.
Are you a shoe sniffer?
We're allowed to be on the air.
We're probably going to do something different when we come back.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.